All things have been handed over to Christ by his Father. So there is something greater than Solomon here. There is something greater than the temple here. There are many things to be worried and anxious about, but there is need of only one thing. Mary, Martha's sister, chooses it as the better part, knowing that whoever does not take up his or her cross and follow after Jesus is not worthy of him. Those least worthy of him, the evil and unfaithful generations that seek after signs, some wizardly proof from Jesus that he is who he says he is, these obstinate hearts claw at him for spectacular verification. Despite their desperation, the only sign that these generations will receive is the sign that Nineveh received in Jonah: the death and resurrection of a prophet of God in 3 days. Truly, there is something greater than Jonah here. Now, if the Pharisees and the scribes were sincere in their desire to see a sign of Jesus' credentials as the Messiah, we might be just a little more sympathetic to their skepticism. I mean, if they truly, at the heart of doubt, fighting to say yes to God's self-revelation in Christ Jesus, we might argue, come on, Jesus, just one little miracle, one small healing, just to boost them over the top of that fear. But Jesus' own description of these guys, an evil and unfaithful generation, pretty much tells us that their motivation for seeking after signs is rotten. They do not seek a sign to doubt-proof a firm faith. They are seeking a logical sign, a political sign, some indication from Christ that it is safe either to join up with him or dangerous even to be seen near him. They are calculating their trust, running their faith through the numbers, trying to weigh the odds, and waiting for the argument to slant in favor of or against belief. And seeing these gamblers' machinations, Jesus says to them, "You had Solomon, the temple, Jonah, and Nineveh. And now you have something greater than Solomon's wisdom, greater than the temple's access to God, greater than the clarity of Jonah's sign and the witness of the Ninevites' repentance because of him. And still, you harass me for a sign. Evil, unfaithful. If you roll dice to trust God, expect the odds to be against you always. Why? Because trusting God is never about probabilities. It is always about possibilities. And more than just what ifs, it is about his promises. Not lab experiments, not geometric proofs or formulas, not even good old reason with all of her properly graced power to reveal and to convince. There is something greater here than all of these. Jesus says that the people of Nineveh heard Jonah's preaching and repented. He says the Queen of Sheba traveled from the ends of the earth to witness firsthand Solomon's wisdom. And he says that the men of Nineveh and the Queen of the South will arise with this generation and condemn it because they are calculating the odds of trusting the only sign they need of God's promise to save them, Jesus Christ. If we could put words to Jesus' frustration, he might ask, how can anyone so misunderstand what faith means to us and requires of us? I wonder. Let me ask all of us. How do you calculate your faith? How do you weigh the odds? How do you covertly test God to see if he's paying attention to you? What conditions have you placed on loving your sisters and brothers in Christ? Are you seeking after, waiting around for some greater sign than Christ himself. Maybe a weeping statue, a rosary turned to gold, maybe an appearance by Mary on the side of a barn. Or maybe you wait for the trendiest philosophers of religion to tell you it is now fashionable again to believe. Fides ex auditu. Believe because you have heard. Heard the witness, heard the word spoken, and you hear the word speak. Don't gamble on signs. Invest in mutual affection and trust, so that when you hear his voice, you may soften your heart and welcome in his saving wisdom.